Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 288 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Listen, buddy, thank you so much for taking over last week.
No problem. Thanks for getting better. Yes. I don't want to do this all the time.
It sucked, man. The next day I called in and just like, I couldn't sleep. I was so uncomfortable. And it was, so you guys, Luke didn't really talk much about it, but we actually called each other on video to record. And before I could even say anything, he's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I don't feel good." He goes, "You don't look like you feel good. Go to bed." That's how bad it was. Rough, man. But you guys did a great job, and I really appreciated King Tom Ruin and the one Star Wars novel I'm actually trying to read. It's not his fault. I'm only halfway through it. It's only been out 6 months, but yeah. I'm glad he's very knowledgeable on that stuff because I just don't have the time to consume at all.
Let alone digest it like a paper shredder like he seems to.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
He reads like Stephen King writes.
Yeah. Well, cocaine. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
that's what it takes.
I think Stephen King's on the straight and narrow now.
We'll say Tom is too.
Yeah. He's not coloring that hair blue. It's turning that color on his own.
Good Lord.
So check this out, man. I just had my second to last gig with the Horns on Saturday. And
God, you guys are like the beast that's slowly being hunted. It's like running out of stairs. Almost there.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's one of our better gigs as far as places to play goes.
Yeah,
it's like a town's homecoming, and it's related. It's like built around football. They have a parade ahead of time and the whole bit. And it was good, man. It looked like it was going to get rained out for a little while, but everything went okay. And all in all, the crowd was pretty reasonable to deal with.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm still ready to be done. So something interesting happened that doesn't normally happen to me. And that was these two girls came up and they were asking about my rig, and because the one girl plays bass and she totally understood, like, "Hey, are you running direct or are you using an amp? It's because your setup looks different." And I'm like, "Oh, what do you play?" You know, and she and her friend had a band that I would love to hear. I don't know what they're called. It's not like I'm like, "Hey, let me get your number, 17-year-old girl." But
hey.
Her friend that plays guitar, her name is Stella, which I thought was cool. She was like going on about how cool my Flying V is. Right?
Of course.
I just took it off. I said, "Here, you want to play it?" I never let anybody play that guitar, but that's where I'm at with things now. You know what? Whatever.
Take this.
Here's my stuff. Just here. Do you know any of these songs? Can you sit in and do this gig for me?
Yeah. I still get the money, but you can experience, right? It'll be your internship.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you're an intern. You're an unpaid intern.
Yeah.
But man, so I only got one more to go, people. Uh-huh. Labor Day weekend. If you don't have anything going on, head out to the St. Louis metro area. I can tell you where to go. You can come and see Throw the Horns on their last show.
Is it was that a fair?
Yeah. It's the town's homecoming event, but
basically a fair.
Yeah, but a big fair. And I'm pretty sure I know the last song we're going to play.
Master Puppets?
No, which actually that would be pretty cool. I think we're going to play The Trooper last by Iron Maiden. Nice. And the reason is that The Trooper was the very first song Joe and I played together when I came over to audition at his house.
Yeah.
And so we're going to end on it. We started on it. We're going to end on it. And it's going to be
cool.
Epic. Yeah. I feel bad saying that. I am so ready to be done.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, you know, like you got stuff you got to concentrate on and like having at least your Saturday taken from you, from your kids, all that stuff every week, basically, you know, like,
yeah.
Not saying you shouldn't ever do gigs again, but maybe ones that aren't so consistent, you know?
Well, and even when we started gigging way less, it's still hard, you know, because on Sundays it just wrecks me.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I did play a gig. I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the last week's episode, what with me not being on it and all, but it was a back to school gig with the country band.
So, back to school.
Yeah. So the lead singer is from this town in the St. Louis metro area on the Illinois side of the river that is pretty poor. And what they do is they have this big event where they are in the park, this parking lot, and they give away backpacks and have free food and low-key dental checkups for kids and stuff like that, all at one-stop shop, all at no charge to the people.
That's
and,
cool.
And every kid gets a backpack and all these things. And so we got to do that. That's the community he's from. And it was a wild gig, man. We played four songs, took an hour break, played four more songs, and then we're done.
Nice.
So, I mean, it was a long day still, but it was, dude, it was really cool. And they had a petting zoo.
Nice.
Because Mike's dad, the singer's dad, has horses, and they brought out some baby sheep and baby goats. And Cruiser, nice. I've been saving this picture. I'm getting ready to send it to you right now.
Oh, no.
All right.
Are you going to make me doll on video?
Possibly.
You son of a bitch.
Possibly. Here it comes. Luke Cruiser. This is great podcasting, I know.
Make sure it's the right Luke you're sending it to.
I damn. Yeah, so I don't know if I talked about it on here, but when when we were talking about me playing that thing with that guy from Mama's Pride Pat List, and I told Luke, I'm positive I sent that to you. No, I didn't. Sent it to another guy who was there. He's like, hey, thanks for sending me a link to the video of the thing I was at. I'm like, yeah, glad to be a part of the solution.
Oh, look, it's like you're a horse twin buddy.
Yeah, it's little Sebastian. It's a mini horse.
Yeah. Is it a mini horse? Oh, yeah. So you're knelt down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's speaking of great podcasting. This is great video podcasting. Yeah. I'm just holding the picture up to my webcam.
Yeah. So he was tied to a trailer. It was time to go, and I was packing up, and so I saw him there. And dude, I've been around horses a lot, and so I just knelt down and kids, come here, and got him and put a selfie. Boink. I'm going to tell you something though. That horse smelled like a horse. And because of how sweaty I was, my whole face smelled like a horse.
Yes.
And we got done and I went to try to wash up and I could not get that smell off of me. And I was starving. So I had to go through the drive-thru to Taco Bell and I'm eating Taco Bell, but smelling horse.
So you're like tasting still, horse stink? Yeah, pretty
it was
great.
Still good.
Yeah, still good. You can't you can't knock down to Taco Bell. You can find it on the ground. Probably still eat it and taste the same. In a similar thing, have you ever like been cleaning out your dog's ears? You know, they get like really stinky ears. Uh-huh. You got to use like some kind of like we use these special little wipes things, but also like just washcloths or whatever else. That shit stinks, and again, if that gets on your finger, like through the cloth, whatever, which it guarantees it will. You got to wash your hands at least 10 times to get that funk off. And you still probably smell it. Animals, dude, they don't bathe like we do. So that oil is thick and it holds in everything. It's pretty great. Speaking of, but not great and kind of off on a side tangent. It was talking about Master of Puppets that came to my mind because I was watching the video earlier. But you see that crazy video of those like three cops beating up that dude in like a fast food drive-thru. Did you see that?
Yes. Oh my
that was
gosh.
Fucked up. One. But did you hear the song that was playing in the background whenever she started filming it? It was like Master of Puppets. I was just like, how, how like ironic of like a poorly or excellently timed thing. Somebody getting beat up by the man and Master of Puppets is playing in the background. I was just like, Jesus Christ. It was already horrible enough. They bring like the truth of art to it. It's nuts. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. But yeah, I hope that dude sues the shit out of him. Go for you, buddy.
but, so listen, this is sad. Not yes. nearly as sad as that, but there's something I need to mention here. And I talked about it on another episode, then edited it out because I didn't want to call the person out. But listen, shots fired. So I'm just going to tell you. Remember me going on and on about the podcast Crushed Monocle? That the guy's like, there's no way somebody could learn Master Puppets that well in that short of a time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Turns out that was Steve Crothy.
Oh, that checks
The out. Guitar player who is on High Potion. It turns out he's the one that's not good enough to learn Master Puppets in a timely fashion.
Well, he's used to playing in like that slower time signature. So I could see how that makes sense. You know what I mean? You know, it's not that he's a bad player, but they play like in like know, well, okay, that. All right, maybe he is. I don't know. I'm not the guitar guy. I couldn't tell you for sure.
I'm just kidding, man. I love Steve Crothy, even though he is a total dick. It's like High Potion starts, and it's like, welcome to High Potion Podcast. I'm your host, Assy McDickface, and I'm Hawes Burkhart.
It is kind of funny how it seems the last couple weeks here seem to have transitioned from Blue Harvest just like taking shots at both of us to like Blue Harvest seemed to be focusing on me and High Potion's focusing on you. It's like they're coming from two fronts. I'm not quite sure what this tactic is, but last week Hall said he was going to, we were playing Fortnite together, which was fun and a good time. But apparently I listened to the show before we played. Apparently he was planning on betraying me, but like, you know, like when you get knocked down in Fortnite, like you're kind of like revive me, dude. And like, you can pick up your guy and like throw him when they're down. Apparently he was planning like throwing me off a cliff or something, whatever it was he was going to do. Problem was I was too busy like reviving him most of the night. So like he couldn't like get his revenge on me. So maybe next time.
In Hawes's defense. The number of times I've dreamt of throwing you off a cliff is pretty high. And I'm not even talking about in video games. I'm talking about on the podcast.
I just keep hoping one time you're going to go along with my assault against Hawes just for once, like I did with you and Steve. Just once. Never. You freaking, you and Chansky, dude. You're so wrapped around Hawes's finger. It's ridiculous and sad.
Well, he and I will be spending Christmas together.
Yeah, but that was unbeknownst to him until.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Guys, we actually got some Star Wars stuff to talk about. We got some other cool pop culture stuff to talk about. And but one of the things we're going to talk about right now is this. And man, I got more to add to it in a second. Oh, yeah. Cruiser, did you get anything that you want to tell us about?
No. Back to you.
Perfect. Well, I got a shipment from Hasbro Pulse with my 6-inch Black Series Riva in it.
Wow.
And I got to tell you something I realized. I don't give a crap about any of these figures because guess where it's at? The
box.
Still upstairs in the completely sealed shipping carton.
You didn't even look at it?
Nope, I haven't. And that's when I realized, well, I've been having some like personal issues these last few days. Let me just say this. Having a 10-year-old daughter isn't always the easiest thing in the world. So opening that action figure was not super high on my list of priorities. Everything, Stella's fine. Everything's fine. It just, it's not always easy when the person who used to be your best pal, like, doesn't want to talk to you or give you the time of day or...
Yeah.
Treat you like a human being, you know, all those things. So it's like, you know what, that action figure, not that important, but I did get it. And that is really all that matters.
Yeah.
And the thing is, man, the Black Series figures are really cool. I'm looking at this Bo-Katan that Stella got me for Christmas. And it's neat. It's a neat figure. And, you know, it's... If you can get the things you want when you want them, collecting figures is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But there ain't no thrill of the chase when it comes to this stuff. When you can't even get it online. It's not even just going into a store. You just can't get it, period.
Yeah.
So I think I really need to stop buying the figures that I think I want and just buy none of them.
Yeah. And see how that works out. And see, see if you got the FOMO or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see if you get, see if the passion comes back.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's not for me at all. Not even a little bit.
I don't think it would. Well, so for example, Rogue One was in theaters in IMAX at certain AMCs this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go. Did you go?
I didn't even look for it.
Yeah, and because it wasn't at the AMC I typically go to, but it was in the metro area.
Okay.
And I couldn't be bothered to go. Of course, I messaged my buddy that I always go to the movies with, and he never even replied to it. So I'm like, all right, that's fair.
That's a
yeah, he and my daughter are apparently teaming up on icing me out. That's fine.
That's cool. Everything's fine.
It's fine. You know who you are.
That's okay.
Messy. but anyway, so yeah, I don't know. I still love Star Wars. I mean, I loved Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it's just like, it, like if we're honest, we still acknowledge and understand that COVID's still here, and going through a movie theater is one of those advanced risks you take whenever you go to like those kind of things. And like, do you want to go risk getting a sickness to see Rogue One, which you've seen a million times already?
I saw it in the theater like 13 times or 14 times.
Yeah. I think I've fallen asleep to it more times than I've seen it all the way through.
Well, listen.
Sorry. I like it, but I fall asleep every time.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, real quick, man, let's talk about what's happening over there at Disney Plus. First of all, remember when the Hollywood Reporter talked briefly about possibility, it looked like Christopher Lloyd was going to be in season 3 of The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Well, at some convention, that I don't know what convention it was, he was asked about being in The Mandalorian, and he responded with, quote, "We were all sworn to secrecy."
So, yeah.
So that's pretty much a verification that he's
a verification or a complete Taika Waititi level troll.
It could be, but dude, I hope that he literally plays Doc Brown. That he's the same character and that he says "Great Scott" and that he doesn't
people would be so pissed.
Good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it gives people a reason to bitch, much like that, just like that new Predator movie that came out, the Prey movie, which is really fucking good.
I still need to watch that.
I'm not going to talk about the details, but it was really fucking good. And people were just waiting to like bitch about it because it was a lady. And I tell you what, that lady was a fucking badass. I would watch her in several movies.
Dude, that whole thing just exhausts me. I don't know how women put up with this crap.
I don't either. But keep fighting the fight, guys, because the shit you're putting out is awesome. Like, there's a lot of, something we're talking about in a little bit, She-Hulk. That show, I like it quite a bit. And even if you don't like the show or this premise, but, like, the actors and the things they're doing in it are really fucking cool. And like, I don't know, man, I'm digging it. And like the Moon Knight's ex or wife turned, you know, Egyptian goddess herself was a badass too. Like, so I'm excited in the direction they're going because it's getting a lot of interesting stories that we normally don't get.
Yeah, I'm way into that, man. I think that women characters are dope as can be, and I have zero issues with women kicking ass and taking names. I don't know where the negativity about that comes in, but whatevs.
Oh, and fucking Kate Bishop and Hawkeye, awesome.
Oh yeah, dude, she rules. Yeah. That's one of the things I loved about Black Widow, with her and her sister, who I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, and she being it, she was in Black Widow too, was, or in Hawkeye also, and that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but she's doing a really good job with that character. I don't know. I would just call them just, they're the clickbaits. It's like people just waiting in the wings just to wait for something they know they can like sink their teeth into a little bit just to anger the same like circle of men over and over again and like an angry circle jerk they seem to be in. In like which I gotta tell you, those things go a lot better. Everybody's calm and peaceful on circle jerks. Anyways,
I've never been in one, Cruiser.
Well, I gotta imagine you don't want somebody in there just rage jerking everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's how you lose an appendage. But I like it. So, did you watch She-Hulk the first episode? I
absolutely did. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what were your thoughts about it?
I was green with envy.
Oh, clap clap, daddy-o.
I thought it was cute, man. There were some things about it that I think were a little. I don't know how to explain how I feel. I liked it though. I liked it quite a bit. Amanda really liked it. I love the actress.
Yeah.
And I think the CGI was really good in it for the most part.
Yeah.
And I like that it's funny. I like that she breaks the fourth wall. And yeah.
I like that because she got the quote, unquote, smart Hulk, like version blood when she got it, that she was able to come out speaking normal, except after like after the first time, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, just pissing off Hulk like crazy that like she doesn't have to go through all the steps and guidebooks that he created to deal with it. Like, these are all like painful memories for me and you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
like ripping up pages of his book.
Dude, I love Mark Ruffalo too. That he is the best Bruce Banner.
Yeah, he's really good.
I love him.
I thought they looked really good together too. Like when they were in the full CGI Hulks, they were like fighting along each other and doing their training stuff. Like every once in a while, it would get a little TV hitchy, but like it for the most part, I think it held pretty well, the CGI.
Yeah.
My problem with the Hulk always is every time they do the big yell. The Hulk yell.
Uh-huh.
The CGI always ends up looking like weird.
It ends up looking like, oh jeez, I can't. How did I lose the movie with Will Smith? Everybody dies.
I Am Legend.
Yes, it looks like the monsters in that whenever they yell.
Yeah, like it's like their jaws unhinge, like become snakes all of a sudden. It's like, what? Like I don't know. It's just like we get that they're yelling by the sound that they make and the facial, because they are still people, and the facial expression people make when they yell. It's not necessarily like like somebody smashed their jaw open.
Right.
But besides that, I liked it a lot. I like the cousin rivalry there, you know, added with the second time so I ever become a Hulk. Well, no, third time, I guess, if you count. What's his name? Oh, God. He's going to be in this show, too. He was in the Edward Norton Hulk. Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
He was the bad guy in that.
Oh,
I can't remember. I can't remember the actual character's name. But anyways, she's technically like the third Hulk. But I like that she's smart. I like that she's going to get to keep her doing her lawyer job. I think that's going to make things interesting. And obviously going to bring Daredevil into the picture and some other stuff. So I didn't like how they did her first fight scene in the courtroom. Because the lady who broke through the wall didn't really seem to do much. She was just kind of like, I'm a bad guy, smash her through a wall. She's like, okay, break, break.
Right.
You know, like I expect, I just, it would have been cool if it was a more of a, of a bad guy, you know? Like, she wasn't doing much.
Right. Yeah, and I think it was just, it's like they just used that as a tool to show that she is doing it at will, and then also that the public knows.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But yeah, as far as like how that went and the development of it, it wasn't great.
Yeah, was the worst part of it. Just like the complete acceptance of it. And then like even on Mark Ruffalo's character's part, by like just completely accepting this had happened, and like there wasn't any kind of major thing that there wasn't any major reaction to it. And then like the I guess in a world where people where superheroes are known and they are everywhere and they're saving the world and half people just disappeared at one time, maybe seeing another green person who's really strong show up isn't the most shocking thing in the world anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there is a point for that, because it's like none of the heroes have secret identities now.
Yeah.
Everybody just knows. But
it would still be, I still like it'd be a bigger deal for her to like have that happen and not just be willing to do it. I know, like, you know, you got to save the day, whatever, and all that hero stuff Ruffalo was talking about. But like, I don't know. She seemed really obsessed with her career. So I don't know. It's kind of.
Well, and I mean, I get that from a standpoint. If you put all this effort into it, it's been your lifelong goal and your dream, and you've worked toward it.
Yeah.
But now the question becomes, and I thought it was interesting that they posed it verbally, is that if you have the ability to help people,
yeah,
are you obligated to help people?
Yeah.
Is there an obligation there? Because let's face it, that goes well past being a superhero.
Yeah.
That is real life. If you have a skill set that will help people, are you obligated to use it for good? For example, big corporations that make things like medicine,
mm-hmm,
and that provide jobs, and there's their profit margins are so high and their CEOs make so much money. Do they have an obligation to help people when they can help them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who decides that?
Especially considering those profit margins.
Here's what's bad is, should there be an obligation? I mean, like a formal obligation? Because I would like to think that I would just want to help people with the wealth that I made.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think, but most people who think the way you do don't get to that level of power.
That's true. Well, here's
something. Otherwise, they don't get there.
Here's something interesting. So a doctor of mine was telling me about his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And when his brother retired, a guy giving a speech said, okay, now I'm going to tell this story, and I know that you might get mad about it, but I think people need to know. And it was a story about how in this corporation, he ended up retiring as the CEO, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't the CEO at the time. Something came through and they're like, okay, everybody that is in charge of these areas of the company, you need to eliminate 18% of your employee workforce.
Mm.
And everybody came back with their list of, okay, here are essentially my bottom performers that we can afford to lose. And this person was like, look, I've looked through this and there's nobody in here that deserves to lose their job.
Yeah.
And they said, that's not what it's about. It's not about deserving to lose your job. Just this is what we need to do, and so on and so on. And what they ended up negotiating was, look, my contract stipulates that I get this bonus, this mm-hmm. huge, gross bonus. He's like, I ran the numbers. And if I forego this for the next 2 years, we can afford to keep those people in their jobs.
Jesus Christ.
And I don't want, nobody can know.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And he said, when this guy mentioned in the speech, there were people in there that were just weeping because they had no idea. And here's what's crazy, though. is the stand-upness of that is pretty wild, but still, just because of his normal salary,
yeah,
it ultimately wasn't really that much of a sacrifice.
It's crazy to think that because just in his bonuses alone, he could keep, what was it?
18% of the workforce employed.
Okay, I thought you said 18 people in each of the departments, I thought you were saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, his, I don't know how many people were in his department, but it kept 18% of them employed for 2 years.
I mean, the amount of money he had been making is ridiculous. But regardless, the fact that just his bonus for 2 years could pay for those people, 18% of the workforce's salary for 2 years, nuts.
Yeah.
But good on him, but still, nuts.
Yeah. anyway, I don't. That's a whole other can of worms to get into. But dude, when you have the ability, is there a social contract that gives you the obligation? Well, ultimately, hopefully, you'll want to help people. But helping people in a manner like that's a lot different than being a superhero, where you're ultimately risking your life.
Yeah, because well, less so if you're a Hulk.
Well, that's true. That is true.
You are kind of a walking, you're like a walking Superman.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
So back to Star Wars real quick. The Knights of the Old Republic game, we talked briefly about that. And I first caught wind of this listening to the Blue Harvest podcast. And listen, I know that people probably think I hate listening to that to see what BS they're spewing about me now. But I actually still like it because of Will and Hawes's mom. But
dude, she's the best that has happened to that show ever, probably.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Maybe you're right. But anyway.
Dude, I mean, I think Hawes would agree. His mom's awesome. And she makes a great call. It's a great little segment they've developed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Knights of the Old Republic, it has been obviously delayed, but it's been moved to another studio within the group, which would tell you that it's essentially they were unhappy with how it was after all this time. But our Cruiser and I were just talking about this in the production meeting. So think about this for a minute. That the profit margin on this game is going to be so high. That it's still viable to go ahead and make it after 2 years of work and just canon it. And I don't know. Or
at the very least, dissecting it.
Right. Like, I don't know if you can, like, how writing off a loss works when the project isn't a loss. I don't know how business is. And maybe they're using it as a completely separate DBA, doing business as is what that means, by the way, as a separate DBA so they can write it off over here on this one and all that. But regardless, the fact that it's still going to happen is pretty cool. Now, I'll admit, I did not play Knights of the Old Republic when it came out. And when I play it now, just I've dabbled in it. It doesn't grab me. Yeah. As much as like newer games, but I would get this when it comes out. But they're saying so. Jason Schreier, who's like one of the most reliable video game leak sources.
Okay,
so he's saying that it's probably not going to be here for a while, but it is going to be here.
Okay.
So
I mean, like, maybe it's like that whole thing with the Batgirl, right? Remember how like WB, they did the whole movie, like basically all they were in post-production just recently, and then they just said, no, it's not coming out at all. We just with the Discovery HBO Max like merger, like it's just like they're like, well, it's better for our brand to just can it in their opinion, right? And maybe that's what they're. Maybe that's the whole thing with Lucasfilm. Maybe it's not that the game will or they are initializing a whole bunch of profit. They're just thinking this game for some reason is really important to the big section of the fandom. You know what I mean? Like some of the hardcores, whatever. and it's important enough for the brand that this still comes out because they've been talking about it for years. So like they're like, we gotta make some way that it still happens so people can get excited about something Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like that's right. All ever it is, different eras. And plus I think they kind of want to tap into that era for stories in the future. So like they don't want to mess it up because they might want to use it, you know. Sorry, carry on. I mean, interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. Well, let's jump over to a video game that we're definitely looking forward to and that it's very likely getting it long before the KOTOR remake comes out. And that's Jedi Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there has been announced that there will be two tie-in novels or two books.
Yeah.
Okay. One is a novel set inside of the 5 years between Fallen Order and Survivor. And mm-hmm. it's coming out at the beginning of March. It's called Jedi Battle Scars. And then The Art of Star Wars Jedi Survivor is set to release at the beginning of May. Yeah. Most of the time, those Art of books come out after the release of whatever they're based on.
Usually a month or two, I think. But unless one of the movies.
Apparently, that wasn't the case for Fallen Order. But I don't know about that. We talked about
it. I remember taking a while, but I have that book. It was a while after the game came out for that was there.
We talked about how like on the PlayStation Network that it looked like they were shooting for a March release.
Mm.
So hopefully that's still a thing. And hopefully the release date of that book, the novel, being the beginning of March, would put that game somewhere not too far after that.
Yeah. I do wonder about that book, though, with being the same writer for it was on the KOTOR remake, was on it, is still the guy writing the book for this tie-in novel for Fallen Order, Fallen whatever, Survivor. I was asking Eric earlier on the pre-production meeting, like, do you think it's they've felt good enough about their storytelling enough to like keep this going, or is this little novel gonna be canned too? Just kind of thrown under the rug.
Yeah, who knows? I hate to think about that sort of thing. I like to just assume the stuff is gonna come out.
Yeah.
And wait for it to come out.
Yeah, but remember when we were all jacked up and hyped for that Mandalorian tie-in novel, and then they just like, nope, we're actually not coming.
I do recall that. Yes.
Yeah, and that's the guy who wrote the novel that Tom ruined for you.
Yeah.
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 Actually, well, he didn't ruin it completely.
No. Yeah, he didn't.
I stopped him. To be fair.
Yeah, and he actually hit the point where essentially I'm at in the book right now.
Yeah.
So that works out.
Yeah.
But I start to read and then Amanda's like, hey, you know what we should watch? We should watch Only Murders in the Building on Hulu.
Yeah.
It is a great show. If you haven't watched it, I definitely recommend it.
I watched the first season and then watched the second one.
Steve Martin, great. Martin Short, great.
Yeah.
And in a surprising twist, Selena Gomez, great.
Oh, she works so well with those two.
Yeah. And I've listened to her music and all that stuff, but her speaking voice surprised me because I hadn't really listened to her talk extensively and like how deep it is. And I don't know, man. And she's funny. She's a good actress. Mm-hmm. It's a very good show. And we're in season two, like the newest episode popped today, I think. But we're almost caught up to it. We got one more to go. But yeah, man. And
it's a great show.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. The premise is really good. It's about podcasters. And what's so good is that they've started this podcast who has a very small niche following, much like this show, where you question if anybody's listening to it at all. I would love it if everybody who actually listens to an episode DM'd us on Twitter just to say, I listen. And see when we get seven DMs. Think, it'll be this,
and it's seven people that we know.
Like, only seven people actually listen to these shows.
Yeah,
yeah. I hope it's more than that.
I mean, it definitely is. I've seen the numbers. They're at least downloading them or at least playing them. So I don't know how far they're getting into it.
Right. But anyhow, that's just, you know, I've always wondered. Because how accurate are the numbers we see? And like you said, are people subscribed to where it automatically downloads, which is what I still do. Even though I have unlimited data on my phone, I still will have it, my podcatcher, download the episodes when they drop.
I don't download any podcasts anymore. Stream all of them.
The reason I do is sometimes, like when, especially when I'm driving to gigs, I'll hit areas where the cell reception's crap.
Yeah.
And that way I can just keep on listening to people ripping on me. But So anyway, one of the things that happens
In life, as in podcast.
Yes. Is one of the things that happens in this is they're podcasters and they're they get a ride from these guys who grow plants. And they're talking about how they have this podcast and blah, blah, blah. The people who are like the protagonists in the show. Yeah. And these guys are, we have a podcast too. And they're like, isn't that precious? And it turns out they have like 60,000 listeners and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, that was just so good. I love that was the twist.
That the podcasting community is big enough now that like you're able to make up the pretentious people in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And it makes sense. It's like,
and everybody and their dog has a podcast. Like all of their fans, those, you know, that group of people who are like crazy and hang out outside with signs, they all have a podcast.
Yeah.
About being fans of the podcast. And the world just keeps on spinning. That's how it really goes, man. Everybody's got a podcast now.
Yeah.
But
I've been asked almost every time my podcast comes up, people are always asking me, I'm thinking about doing one. I was going to ask you for some gear. Like, what do you think I should do? What should I get? I'm like, okay, here we go. I remember this 6 years ago. That's going to be quite the explanation and everything. A lot of things have changed since when we started as well. So like, it's hard to say what to do anymore, but like people are still making them. Like, I don't know what it is about this medium. It's like it all gives us a chance to possibility that somebody's going to listen to what we have to say. That's all people really want at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You know, find your niche, man. That's all I can say.
It's the worldwide radio.
Yeah. All right. Another thing, Star Wars wise, is it was announced that there's a documentary coming out about Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's the show. It's called A Jedi's Return. Now, I will say, when I first saw the poster, I was like, oh man, that's for announcing season two.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But this thing dropped September 8th, and it's a lot of BTS stuff, and which I'll be excited to see. I really dig that sort of thing.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah. Sorry, yes, behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
My bad. But I don't know. It's, I don't know how long the runtime of it's supposed to be.
I'm sure it's right at an hour. So that's what the other ones have been for the shows, about an hour, hour and a half, something like that.
I guess I should, say behind the scenes, because it's not BTS, the K-pop boys band.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, behind the scenes.
BTS also sounds kind of erotic when you say it. So people are like, you want sexy Obi-Wan Kenobi on Pornhub? What's happening here? What are you talking about? All right. I'm here to put sticks in your spokes. Anyways, so did you watch the one for Boba Fett? Behind the scenes?
Yes.
I thought that was really well done. And I like that it's funny if you think about how the trajectory of like the most recent documentaries, right? Starting with the Last Jedi one, right? Where like the director and the Jedi, whoever it was, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like that was a full-fledged movie level documentary that was like, you know, had the whole, like a super narrative about the whole entire thing of Rian Johnson's like trouble and struggle through the whole process. And now these ones we have now, they're really good. But when they did the first one for The Mandalorian, it was like for every little thing about the show. Like they were really like going into detail, like an hour episode. It was like 10 episodes or something for this documentary series, something like that. It was like, they were like 45 minutes to an hour long about one aspect of the show and creating a show and the volume and the sound and all kinds of other stuff. And like, and now they're like, okay, that was excessive. We're going to do one show for the entirety of the thing. And I think that's working out pretty well. It makes it less of an event. I will say that, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think their metrics are people are probably, if they're going to watch it, they're going to watch a documentary. That's just one sitting and they move on, you know? But I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to hear Hayden Christensen say how much of an honor it was for him to return about 100 times, because that's what he says a lot when he goes to about everything. Anytime he gets an interview or something, that's the first time. I was on a return. I love this character, yada, yada, yada. You know, so I'm sure that would get said a few times. Are you going to watch it?
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, yeah. So is there anything else Star Wars that's happening at all?
Not that I know of, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I'm not, you know. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Well, we're kind of the main talking points kind of Star Wars podcast. We're not doing many deep dives. The last episode we did about the books, I literally had to bring somebody else to talk more about something I'm not paying attention to anymore as much.
Right. So like,
it's kind of how that works out. But, you know, we're talking about other things too, you and I. And speaking of other things that was it the House of the Dragon? Is that what it was called? House of the Dragon, the new Game of Thrones show premiered last night. And it was like the biggest premiere of the year for streaming services, which it should have been. It was pretty cool. I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, so you don't have any context to go off of besides dragon and boobies. That's mm-hmm. that's a good point of reference. Dragons, boobies, and boobs. Boobies and boobs and blood. Before boobs twice for emphasis. But it was there's a scene that I want to discuss with you, because as I'm sure you've heard about this show, there's a lot of like sex scenes and stuff in it. They're all about it. There's a point in the series where one of the guys is getting ready, like his squire or his guy or whatever got the attention of the crowd he was in to give a speech. All right. It's like this like prince.
Mm-hmm.
And problem is he had rented out a brothel. So like it was a bunch of dancing women, a bunch of people like having sex like on the sides or whatever. And like they're like, everybody halt. And so like there's like 10 people in this room like who stop mid thrust. Uh-huh. to give this prince to give his speech. And I just imagine like you're like, should I just like get out of this situation now, just kind of pull out, or do you stay in? You know what I mean? Do you stay in or do you back out if it's you?
Well, I would stay in.
You just stay in there?
Yeah, I'm listen. I don't want to get into big chunks of my personal life, but it certainly wouldn't be the first time I'd had sex with other people around or looking directly at me. I'm just going to be honest.
But like if somebody of like a prince, like you got to stop right now, would you just stop? Could you stop yourself and just stay there like that? It was so comedic to me to see all the people who were just like getting at it like the second ago. And they're always like, huh. They all just turn and look at him.
Yes, I could do that. I've done that.
Well, fair enough. The show is for you. You'll be able to relate, I guess. I thought it was funny, but the show itself is very good. The dragons in it look fucking dope. The thing with the dragon heritage, is it the Targaryens? I think, yeah. Anyways, I'm terrible with names, people, so don't skip me. I did watch the entire first series, but I'm terrible with names. I get sick of seeing their blonde hair after a while. Because they're all like this, like, not like yours. They're like aggressively bleached blonde haired people. Like, it's like their whole family lineage is that's the telltale of who they are, is their bleached blonde hair. Uh-huh. And it's just like, all right, we get it. You whiteheads all over the place. We get it. You symbolize like you're closer to gods than men. We get it, you know. But it's a very good show. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And it was very much Game of Thrones, to the point where like they did like, it's the same theme, you know, that dun 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 dun, mm-hmm. dun, dun, but like it's slightly modified. It's like a little twist. It's a little twist. Like it's got a little bit more airiness to it, I would say. Uh-huh. But I thought it was an interesting choice. They didn't do the Star Wars approach where they have the show's own theme, you know? But you know how like each episode will have like their own main theme, but then it'll have a callback to something else that happened at some other point. It wasn't like that. It was almost basically like that theme is our theme, you know. I figured it would have been more dragony. But anyways. I think it's good. If you haven't seen it, check it out for sure. I know you won't, but are you ever going to watch Game of Thrones? Ever have any intentions?
I would, but like I don't have HBO Max now, and the last thing I want to do is pay for yet another streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the amount of time I have available to dedicate to watching TV isn't super high. So the stuff I pay for right now is... It's more than enough to fill up the time I have to watch TV.
Yeah, and I think it's like 7 seasons of Game of Thrones of varying lengths. I think the last season was like 6 episodes, but like they were usually, I think, 10 to 12 episodes, and they're all hour long. So yeah, it's a commitment for sure. I mean, you know, but it's really good in the stories itself. People are, of course, a lot of people are upset about the ending of the first series, but I don't find there's many happy endings in series usually, because it's over. You know what I mean? Like they're just bringing it to an end. I've only ever seen a few shows where I felt like the ending was a good ending. You know, especially ones you like. But anyways. See what else are you gonna watch that Amazon Lord of the Rings show?
Yeah, I think I will.
I think it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be interesting having Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings going at the same time. It's gonna be same but different.
Maybe. Yeah. It's not gonna be interesting for me because I'm, you know, not gonna subscribe to HBO Max. Now I will say, AT&T, if you're listening, because I'm sure all the corporate people at AT&T listen. If I had AT&T fiber at my house and got HBO Max with that, like you do, I would watch it. I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah, I would love to have AT&T fiber here so that I don't have to have my crappy, whatever it is, 20 megabit per second upload speed.
Yeah, that
gives us the I supposed to stream Henry and myself playing Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga and 20 megabits per second? Now I realize that's enough upstream bandwidth, but
doesn't feel like it.
Well, yeah, because as soon as you know
it drops a little bit, it bumps the
As soon as Stella is busy making video calls with her friends or whatever.
Yeah, that is the truth though, right? Those VoIP calls and video cals, they just drain the upload speed.
Yeah, and they'll claim it doesn't. Like Skype says that with video, it's still very small. But I'll tell you what, shit. If I went ahead and ran a speed test right now, this video call would get wrecked during the upload portion of the test. Yeah.
And you know how we know it's bullshit? Because we record these now. And now, since we started recording them, our videos are blurry when we look at each other because it's not supporting the...
They record them nicely.
Yeah.
But because it's recording it locally.
Yeah. But Eric and I are pixelated to each other. That's pretty cool. Hopefully, maybe if we both get fiber internet, we'll be able to see each other clearly. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
get that,
be great.
Get that 1G up and down.
I can start writing off my internet because of the sweet, sweet podcast money. Actually, you know, you do have to pay money for your Patreon earnings. You have to pay taxes on that. And so I could write off my internet as an expense because without that, there ain't no Patreon.
Damn. But it's all in your name, so I can't. Damn it. Only you can.
You could if I start giving you a 1099.
All right, that's behind the scenes. I'm not even worried about that right now on the show.
Boy, Pete, this is interesting podcasting for sure. People are like, neat.
Oh, right. Now we're talking about tax plans under Patreon. Sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Lord of the Rings show looks awesome, and I think there's a new trailer for it coming out tomorrow, which I don't know why, because the show's coming out in a week, so like, whatevs. But are you playing anything new right now, or have you been kind of busy and getting over your sickness that I'm not playing much besides Red Dead?
Well, you know, I still grind Red Dead daily, but I've been playing through, so I finished South Park Stick of Truth.
Nice.
Which was quite good, honestly. Well, I mean, the turn-based combat wasn't super my bag, but I did like the show or the game. It's you're playing an episode of South Park.
Yeah.
It's the original voice actors and all of that stuff. And so right now I'm working on the sequel to that, the Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Fractured Butthole. That's clappity clap clap is what that is. Awesome. But it's pretty good too, and the combat and everything about it's more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing: it's not particularly super hard.
Yeah,
it's more about just the experience, which is fun. You know, the Raisins girls are jerks, man. They're the worst.
I still can't believe they out of all they went with that concept. I can't believe they did that on the show.
It's pretty funny.
Some of the things they've done on the show are just the fact that it's supposed to be animated children. Just
yeah. Welcome to Raisins. Oh, yeah. Everybody else is in here is lame, but you guys are super cool.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever frequented a strip club, I guarantee you, you've heard that.
Oh yeah. You're super cool because you're here.
Oh, I'm glad you guys are here. You totally saved me.
Yeah. Now give me hundreds of dollars while I grind upon you.
Would you want to maybe go out sometime? Oh, well, sure. Just come to the club. We can hang out.
Yeah.
No, I think you're missing what I'm talking about.
If I make more money if we don't do that.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Yeah. I'm quite poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went through a phase where when I lived in Springfield, my fiance had just dumped me. It was very difficult. I frequented the Deja Vu quite a bit.
Oh, Deja Vu is a franchise? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only strip club I've ever been to. It was when I was 18. We went the one in Louisville at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It was something. I'm like, yep, I'm going to keep coming to these places. And then I never went again. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah. I went to a pretty raw one in the St. Louis area with my first wife. It was her idea.
Oh, yeah. This was a bottomless one, the Deja Vu. It was all up in your business.
Yeah. Now, at this one, the one I went to with my first wife, man, I mean, it was like, they pulled her up on stage and went down on her and the whole bit. It was a scene, man.
Yeah, well, they know that's what dudes want and they make them throw tons of money at them. So.
Oh, they did. There was these guys just dropping bills and I had to like watch to make sure none of them got handsy.
Yeah.
But,
God. Yeah. Nothing against people who go to strip clubs or people who work at strip clubs. I'm glad you guys find that niche and that transference of money, like, good for everybody involved, as long as it's safe and people keeping their hands to themselves. They're supposed to, definitely. But for me personally, I don't deal well with, it all feels so embarrassing to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it. You know, yeah. Because essentially the idea is that you're sexually aroused in front of all these people.
Yeah.
But it's not really very arousing at times.
No.
And, you know, these girls, they don't dig you. It's purely a transactional thing. And listen, once you're married, you've already got a woman who won't let you touch her right there at the house. The last thing you need is to go to the strip club. Oh, my God. My friend David Strutt sent me this funny thing that said, my wife says that sex is a lot like pizza. She won't give me any more until I lose some weight. that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good marriage humor.
Did you hear? Wait a minute. By the way, God, this is so stupid. Have you seen this trend of, I don't know, I guess it's those crazy kids and their crazy music where guys are like dipping their balls in glitter? It's pretty nuts.
I knew it was a joke, and I didn't even. I'm like, I know I've not heard of this or seen this, and I know something's coming. I know there's something there. He's sitting on it, like hopefully not glittered up, sitting on it. But yeah, Well done.
I didn't write that, but boy, that's good.
It's nuts.
It's pretty nuts.
By the way, speaking of nuts and having cool big balls, probably something they say a lot. Do you see that dude who was selling alpha training lessons get like kicked off all the social medias and in all video platforms today?
I didn't know what that guy's deal was.
And I was something Tate. I forget his first name. It doesn't fucking matter.
Andrew Tate.
Something like that. He was a kickboxer at one point, and then he started like. He started like having his, you know how like Trump had his Trump University that was figured later forgot to be a scam, like to where like they're gonna teach you how all the secrets of business, but then nothing ever materializes, and like you don't get clear plans or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that, but this guy is like the alpha male teacher. That's what he is.
Nice.
It's like, you know, women aren't shit. They belong in the kitchen, kind of fucking douchebaggery, you know? And you have to let them know that you're the dominant figure in their lives and all kinds of stupid. And apparently it's starting to affect teenagers, like, you know, impressionable teenagers who thought this guy was cool. And like, and he was like all over TikTok and everything else. And so TikTok is for the children, apparently. And, and he was making tons of money on there, and people were signing up for his $30 a month, $50 a month courses on how to be a baller, essentially. And he just got kicked off of everything. They kicked him off YouTube. They kicked him off Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. They were like, nope, you're done. They full on Alex Jones'd them. They're like, get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting. And like each day there's another social media that felt the pressure to drop them too, like one by one. You know how that goes? Like this, uh-huh. the first one that goes, fuck you. We can't be associated. Goodbye. And everybody else is like, damn it. Now we have to make this decision.
Right.
Oh, no, I don't want it to. I want to just avoid it. Hope it went away. But you know, it's that kind of stuff's hard because there's tons of douchebags like that on the internet making content all the time, and he just got popular. But now now it's going to raise up copycats and everything else, and him going away is not going to make this false sense of mentality go away. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Like,
there's always been dudes that thought you had to be the manliest of men, and by that. You are complete control of everything and you are the shit and everybody else needs to fuck off. And that mentality is not going away because douchebags will always exist. He just made money off being a colossal douchebag. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that kind of thing matters in the end when they do those bans.
You know well, what I mean? It, I mean,
in the short term, maybe.
I would think essentially it would be pretty easy to just start a new account. And yeah, you can say you're banned, but good luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not making a political statement or anything. It's not. It's just like anytime I ever say anything about somebody, it's not because I'm some crazy lefty that only cares about one thing or whatever. It's just because I just don't I have a hard time with bullshit in general. And like we've recently been faced with a lot of it. Like a lot of it in many ways. It continue to. And it seems to be getting at higher and higher. Was that movie Idiocracy? That movie, uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's getting it feels that like it's simpling down further and further and further towards that point. And like I'm just trying to go against the toilet spinning down against the current. Like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go down there. That's not where I want to be. So anyway,
yeah, dude, I don't know, man.
I'm sorry. It was just on my mind and it's been all over Twitter and everything else. And
that mindset is just a shame. It really is. I don't know where. I can't
demean people enough to be that way. I can't like I'm an asshole, but like, I can't sit there and truly make you feel like you're less than me. You know what I mean? I won't ever feel that. I don't like it. So
yeah. Yeah, that's something, man. We've talked about that a lot where like with hardcore racists and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, if you can't sit in a room with somebody, just you and them one-on-one, and mm-hmm. hate on them directly.
Yeah.
That when you claim that that's everything you stand for, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That means you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you can do it and not say the things that you really felt, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't all of a sudden had to be like all of a sudden the people you were talking shit to in a room in a Twitter thread were all of a sudden just there. Would that conversation change? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet immediately the conversation changes. This is like awkward. Oh, shit. We just all in the same room all of a sudden. All of a sudden, I don't have the courage I have to say what I had to say a minute ago. You know, it's just, we need to be better. All this Andrew Tate shit and all the continuing stuff going on with all the people and the big political powers and it just makes me realize more and more I need to unplug further from the social media. That's all. And I need to like literally break myself of it because it's poisonous. It's like, it's like smoking social media.
Uh huh.
It has, I think it has a similar impact.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Anyways, but, I got nothing else to say about you. Anything else to bring up, talk about?
No, nothing intelligent, unless you want some more stupid dad jokes that are stupid.
No.
Because trust me, they are stupid.
All right. Well, I think we should
But yeah, we'll just wrap this thing up, man. I mean, it's not that this hasn't been great.
Yeah,
but
it's horrible.
So yeah, listen, guys, be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators where we save the good stuff for the over there.
Yeah, this is all teaser material that
yeah.
isn't about the other material that we're teasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we save the good stuff for that. Check it out. Yeah. Check out our merch on TeePublic and I guess Redbubble if you want. And follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. Take a look down there in the description for any other stuff with stuff on it. And I guess really, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.